Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited.
It's a joy to be with you. Thank you for your friendship and partnership and your prayers. And just bring love and greetings from Emmanuel Morborough today. Let me pray as we turn to God's word again. Father in heaven, thank you for reminding us to consider Christ. I'm sorry when we stop considering him and our eyes fall low and we consider everything apart from him. Please would you lift our eyes today that we might love him and know your love through him. And change our hearts, please, as we pray also for the children in their groups. In Jesus' name, amen. So do turn back, please, to Romans chapter 12, which in the Church Bibles is page 800. Well, so what? So what? Now, we learn lots of truth, don't we, at church? We learn lots of truth in the Bible. And we learn lots of truth, but so what? What's going to happen after the final hymn when we turn to our neighbour? What's going to happen when today is over, Monday to Saturday begins? Does our theology have a so what? You're in this great a teaching series on the theme of church, on the theme of loving your church. Not meaning loving this building, but loving your family, your church family. And so far you've seen, I think, the church is a place of belonging, a place of welcome, of gathering, and of caring. And today is going to be very practical, that we'll see church is a place of serving, a place of serving one another in the church family. And we'll see 3 points. We'll see the motive of service, the motive, the method, and the manner. First, the motive of service. Motivation is key, isn't it? We need motivation because I guess we roughly know what we are to do. We know that we're supposed as Christians to serve each other, and we might have an idea of what that service would look like, but why should we do it? Why should we serve one another? Because that's not always easy, is it? In just the pressures of ordinary life and the challenges in relationships with each other, just the limitations of time and circumstance, not always easy. And lots of voices in our heads and our hearts would tell us not to serve others, but to serve ourselves, to look after number one, to put your feet up. So why should we serve each other? We need motivation. And the motivation in our passage is this. It's mercy received. Here's the motive to serve, because of mercy received. So look, please, at Romans 12 and verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies. The motivation is the Lord's mercy, mercy received. It begins with that word, therefore. When I was a boy in a boys' Bible study group, my youth leader would say to us, when you see a therefore in the Bible, find out what it's there for. And we're at this big turning point in this letter from the Apostle Paul to Christians in Rome. That's why it's called Romans. And it's been all about God's mercy and his grace. God's mercy, where he doesn't punish us as we deserve for the wrong we've done if we trust in Jesus. And his grace, where God gives us amazing forgiveness, friendship, a future we don't deserve as we trust in him. What mercy Christians have received. My sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Paul began this epic letter by showing that all humans have failed. That though we are created things ourselves, we worship other created things and not the God who created us. So Romans chapter 1, we exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like immortal human beings and animals. Excuse me. And we may think we're sophisticated because the things that we worship may not be kind of golden statues, but they are me. They are myself. We worship ourselves. We're so sophisticated. And perhaps there's a subtle danger there of a wrong motivation for even for our Christian service, an idolatrous motivation for it. That we might be actually polishing our ego or showing off to others in our Christian service, or worshipping ourselves. And that is a path that God warns only ends in death and judgment. We are not Christians because we serve others. Rather, we serve others because we're Christians, because we've received God's amazing mercy. By definition, we are those who are blessed because we don't deserve it. Hasn't Paul been writing all about God's mercy? That Jesus Christ, God the Son, died on the cross to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, to pay the hell that we deserve to pay, and so that God can show us his grace as a free gift. In Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Amazing mercy. There is the motive for Christian service. Mercy received. Maybe you know that you've never actually received God's mercy before. And if you want to serve, it'd be great to serve. But the key place to start is to receive. To pray, sorry, thank you, please. Sorry for all the wrong that I've done. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross in my place. Please help me to follow him all my days and to serve in his kingdom. And if we've done that, then we are defined not by our merits, but we are defined by his mercy. Praise the Lord. Undeserving sinners, unconditionally loved. And then wonderfully, we're free. We are free to offer our unchained bodies to God in the service of his people, a living sacrifice. You may know the story of how President Abraham Lincoln went to buy a slave girl. And as he paid the money to buy her, she assumed that he was buying her to use her. But as her chains fell off, he said, "Young lady, you're free." And she said, "What do you mean?" He said, you're free to go wherever you choose." And so with tears streaming down, she said, "Well, then I choose to go with you." And if we're trusting in Jesus, then we're a little bit like that slave girl. God has set us free by his amazing mercy from all that enslaving addiction to wrongdoing. And there's the motivation to service, to say with that girl, I go with you. I go with you. See, verse 1 says, "Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your true and proper worship." What does that mean? What is a living sacrifice? Well, a living sacrifice is not a dead sacrifice, right? If we hadn't received God's mercy, we should be dead. We should be burnt up in God's right judgment. But because Jesus died instead of us, we become living sacrifices. So like that freed slave, I want to worship God in all that I do and think and say all the time. It's all for God. Everything is an act of worship. In every part of life, if you're looking after your toddler or you're doing your exams, you're on a date, you're facing the boss, starting retirement, caring for that elderly relative, it's all for God. And God's mercy transforms everything. But what has it got to do with church? What has it got to do with serving the church family? Well, it is a powerful motivation to serve God by serving his family. Yes, we gather on a Sunday and also throughout the week to serve one another. Well, there's our first point. The motive for service is mercy received. Well, here's our second point, the method of service. And the method of service is grace shared. Grace shared. Look at verse 3 with me, please. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." By the grace given me, Paul begins. Even he stands not on his merits, but on God's amazing grace, God's free gift to him. That is his gift. But God's gift or his grace to us is not something to lock up in the bank. It is something to share with one another. So look at verse 6, please. "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Now, there is the method of service. Grace shared. Now, generosity in service begins in the mind. Verse 3, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." We're not above serving one another. Rather, verse 3, "Think of yourselves in accordance with the measure of faith that God has distributed to each of you." Now, what does that mean? Faith is more than believing the truth, isn't it? It is a flip side, as it were, of grace. Faith is the open hand that receives God's grace, God's free gift, that depends on Jesus. And if we're living by faith in God's grace, his undeserved gift to us, then we won't think of ourselves too highly, ungraciously, as if we've earned God's gift because we're so great. And we won't think of ourselves too lowly, insecure, as if God hasn't gifted us. We'll think of ourselves with contentment, secure enough in his grace shown to us, and secure enough to share that grace with others, not closing the hand that received his gift. Grace is a gift, not only that Christians have received, but also that we'll share. In verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So here is the method: grace shared. Often the Bible describes the church as a body, and each of us as different members of that body, as we saw just now. And each part is gifted. The nose has the gift of smelling. The lungs have the gift of breathing, etc. And those body parts use their gifts to serve each other, just as in the church, we're to use our gift to serve one another. Imagine the nose says, "I'm pretty good at breathing air, but I'm not going to share that air with my lungs. I'm going to keep it all to myself. I'd be no good with it." Or imagine that the lungs said, "I'm pretty good at extracting oxygen from that air, but I'm not going to share the oxygen with the nose. It's all for me. That won't work either." It's a disaster. The method of service is grace shared. Now, Paul mentions just a few of the many gifts that God gives to Christians to share with each other. I take it this list is not exhaustive, because there are other lists elsewhere in the Bible that have different gifts. In Paul's list, serving is one of the gifts which he lists here. Does that mean that some of us haven't got the gift of service and we don't need to serve? Well, no, clearly not. We're all gifted to serve in different ways. Only we don't necessarily have the same gift. I'm not gifted to serve with PA, with AV. I've tried it before. Once I was running PA for a wedding, and with my great skill, I managed to make the Queen of Sheba arrive halfway through the vows. I was never asked to do that again. And I'm really grateful for you guys who do PA for the tech team. But there are other ways in which I can serve, and so can you. Paul says here, if your gift is prophesying, in other words, if you're good at sharing the good news about Jesus and helping to see how God's word applies to their lives, then use that gift to serve others. If your gift is teaching or encouraging or leading, then use your gift as far as you have the opportunity. Isn't it great when someone is a good encourager? I love people who are good encouragers. But use your gifts not to impose on others. I have this gift, you must submit to my gift. Now use the gift to serve others. If you can give, give generously. If you have a chance to show mercy, show lots of it. This is not an excuse not to answer a need. If there's a need for someone to clean the loos, I mustn't say, that isn't my gift. I'm gifted at very different things than that. I don't know, there's a need there. And there's a time and place to just go and fill that need. Now, Paul's point is not to limit our service. To some extent, we all have all of these gifts. His point is to rocket fuel our service. There must be so many opportunities for service here at Emmanuel. Kind of rostered, rotated, kind of formal ways of service. It's great to hear that there's a need in the creche and in the Sunday school. We were blessed to be members here for four years a long time ago. And during all that time, I think I was on the creche rota, and I loved it. I love the little ones because they don't expect you to be anything other than yourself, do they? You don't have to put on a kind of a show with them. You just be yourself with the little kids. So if you can join the creche rota, please do. Helping in Sunday school, that must need lots of volunteers. The musicians, the welcomers, those who serve tea and coffee, the tech team, the finance team, home group leaders, deacons, those who share perhaps in old people's homes, those who visit those who can't get to church. What a diverse body. Isn't it brilliant? God has made us and given us all the gifts that we need. But we need to use those gifts in service of one another. We're so used, aren't we, to being in a consumer society, which is all about me. What can I get out of this? And if we have children, we may sometimes disguise that as, what can my children get out of this? Which sometimes is still a bit consumerist, isn't it? And I need God to root those attitudes out of my heart, don't you? Because we're not a cinema, we're not a gym, we're not a utility provider, We're not here first and foremost to get out of it what I can get out of it if I pay my subscription. We are a body. We belong to each other. We're here first and foremost to serve one another. Well, we've seen first the motive of service, mercy shared. And secondly, the method of service, grace shared. But doesn't attitude matter a lot? Suppose I serve you with my hands, but my face is very angry. Now, that's no good, is it? And so thirdly and finally, the manner of service. The manner of service, and that is love shared. Love sincerely, verses 9 to 16. Can you see with me just the beginning of verse 9? Love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Remember those pictures that say, love is dot, 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 and there's a picture of a cute boy and a girl perhaps holding hands, and they might say something like, love is when you outshine the stars. Or maybe you've been on the London Underground and they have the pictures and it says, love is, you know, when you mind the gap, or you let someone off the carriage before you get on. Well, here's what God says. Love is sincere. Love is sincere. It's not hypocritical. Love must be for real. What does sincere love look like in practice? Look at verse 9 again. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Love sincerely, hate what's evil. Because real love is not just a sympathetic and a sickly smile over a cup of tea. Real love is totally against any evil in my attitude and with compassion in yours. Love sincerely. Love sincerely, be devoted to one another. Treat each other as family, not just as a meeting. For example, we heard about the church prayer directory. Well, get one of those, get into that, and pray for each other regularly through the church prayer directory. Join one of the church's midweek home groups or youth groups to study the Bible and to be part of a smaller group where it's kind of realistic to stay in touch with each other during the week and to look out for each other's practical needs. Maybe you're thinking, well, I want to serve. I want to serve with this attitude of loving sincerely, but it's so hard. And I'm not good at it. And sometimes we hurt each other, or we hurt our loved ones. And it's hard, isn't it, sometimes to have that attitude of love to one another. How can we love sincerely? Well, love sincerely by loving the Lord. By loving the Lord. Look at verse 11, please. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Keep your spiritual fervor. In other words, fervently serve the Lord, and then we will fervently serve each other. See, what keeps the moon shining? Well, the fact that it's constantly bathing in the light of the sun. When does the moon stop shining? Well, when the world gets in the way, in between the sun and the moon. And the most loving thing I can do for you is to nurture my own relationship with the Lord. And to keep going spiritually, to seek to grow spiritually in my knowledge of his love for me. How's that going, friends? Do we spend a few minutes of each day, just you and the Lord, me and the Lord, open Bible, praying to him? If not, then when do we do that? Love sincerely. Love sincerely and let the fuel for that be the love of the Lord. Seek him, friends, first and foremost. And then you'll find yourself loving one another sincerely. Love sincerely. Because a lot of Christian service is more than what's organized. It's more than a rota on church suite. But it happens out of love. So verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. practice hospitality. Love sincerely, then, not only in organized service, but equally valuable through informal service. It says, be faithful in prayer. Maybe you're elderly and you're not able to serve in some perhaps rostered ways that you used to be able to do a lot, and that's really painful and hard. But you pray. You pray and you pray, and that is priceless. I met an elderly Christian at the men's convention last weekend, and I bump into him about once a year. And he said to me last weekend, he said, "Reuben, I pray for you every day." That bowled me over. Isn't that a priceless thing? And how many blessings have I experienced in my life because that man prays for me every day? So friends, keep praying. It says practice hospitality. That's a command, to practice hospitality. Now, when we were here, about 14 years ago, my wife, Hannah, was pregnant with our second son, with Oscar. And Hannah was very unwell during the pregnancy. And some of you will remember, she spent about 6 months on the sofa. And at that time, you showed us extraordinary hospitality. Well, you always showed us great hospitality. But particularly in that context. Henry, our oldest, was about 2 years old. Well, less than that at the time. And it wasn't always easy. But you looked after us so well. There was this amazing meals rota that you organized. And you brought us these delicious meals that normally lasted 2 days. And on a Sunday after the service, I came here with Henry, but I had to be busy. I wanted to be busy looking, talking with you after the service. And so the youngsters, the teenagers, would take my little boy Oscar and Henry, rather, and just care for him after the service. Amazing hospitality. And we were so thankful. And isn't hospitality perhaps a gift that a previous generation of Christians were very good at, and perhaps our generation is not quite so good at? Reasons for that, perhaps. But don't we need to learn the gift of hospitality? Well, as we draw towards a close, wasn't our Lord Jesus an amazing model of serving? As I read the last verses, can we see how Christ-like this is? See how it points to Christ, the ultimate servant. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. What a master we have, who blessed those who crucified him and did not curse. Who rejoiced at a wedding, though he was single. Who mourned at a funeral, though he was about to reverse it. Who lived in harmony, though he was hated. Who wasn't proud, but associated with sinners and prostitutes. Who was not conceited, but humbled himself to death on a cross. And as we heard earlier, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, so what? For all the theology that we learn, what's the so what? Well, let's serve one another. The motivation for serve, mercy received. The method of service, grace shared. And the manner of service, love, sincerely. Shall I pray? Father in heaven, we praise you that your Son, the Lord Jesus, loved us so much that he came as a servant. He didn't come full of glamour, full of human power, but he came to serve. To serve to such an extent that he gave up his life for us, to raise us to be with you, to make us part of his body by the Spirit. Forgive us, Father, when we keep that grace to ourselves and we don't share it. Help us to be those who receive your grace, receive your mercy, love you, being fed spiritually by your grace. And then please help us to share that grace with one another, to be like the Lord Jesus, to put others first and ourselves last. And not in a proud way, an arrogant way, looking down on others, but with joy and contentment. In Jesus' name, amen.